Rav Daniel Walker.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Very nice to be here, as usual. The topic for today I want to discuss is the Shir of a Kazayas. Before everyone starts wanting to fall asleep, I'm not. I'm going to discuss the particular shittas in what is the Shir Kazayas. That's an entirely different Shir. I'm going to discuss how we go from a Kazayas to the modern equivalent measurements that we have today, right? So for the purpose of the Shir, really I'm going to focus only on Reb Chaim Nahr's Shitta, just because his way of working it out is very, very clear. And again, really I'm trying to work out a kav in the whole sugya. Personally, before Pesach, I was looking at the sugya and I found it incredibly confusing. So really just for myself, I tried to make a little bit of Seder in it. What exactly, why the Shittas disagree and so on and so forth. And so I hope you'll find it a little bit interesting. There's a little bit of maths. I'm not very good at maths, so hopefully I'll be able to explain it in a relatively clear way. Just by the way, to give a thing, so vast majority of what I'm saying comes from this Sefer, Midas Vishuri Torah, which is a very, very good summary of these of the sugya. Any good bits are from there, any mistakes are my own. So I'd like to begin by saying, what exactly is a kazayas? Now, I know a kazayas is a little green thing or a little red thing. What I mean is, when the Torah gives, or Chazal give, the shir of a kazayas, it's food. What exactly do they mean? Explain what I mean. There are a number of other shirim of food given by Chazal, a whole bunch of other shirim of food given by Chazal. Just to focus on the smaller ones, the ones close to a kazayas, if you will. So there's a gregaris, there's a dried fig, there's a keseves, or keseves agas, or the date, or dry date, and the baits are the egg. And Chazal, the Gemara, tells us specifically what is it about these things that make them being used as a shear. So, for example, the gregaris is, Gemara Shabbos says, Mishnah Shabbos says, the gregaris is the minimum amount of food that a person would put away, Right? You know what I mean? You have a tiny little crumb, you don't put it away in your larder. But a gregaris, it's a dried fig, it's a decent size, it's a decent amount, you'd pay money for it. So, latsnia, you'd put it away. The keseves is the minimum shear, the fig is the minimum shear, says the Gemara in Yuma, for a person to feel satisfied. In other words, not hungry anymore. Right? He doesn't feel hungry anymore. So a person's fasting. This is a Chazim Kippur. Person's fasting, and he has Kesevas Agasa, and he's not full, but he's not starving hungry either. And that's the definition, right? You have a date thing. And then the Beitza is the Sheir Sveir, right? That a person who has an egg feels that they've had a meal. Clearly, people ate much smaller meals than we do, and there's not a lot of calories in an egg. But, to me, it's not terrible. Someone on a diet can have an egg for lunch, and then they have, and that's the Sheir Sveir. So besides for the practical applications of the shurim, they are something, right? And there was something that they are descriptions. They're not just names of fruits or foods. They're something which can be described. So one is the amount the person puts away. One is the amount that you stop feeling starving hungry. One is the amount that you feel satisfied. So what then is a kazayas? Right, it's a very obvious thing, but I think it needs stressing. Because particularly by Leil HaSeder, when we're eating massive amounts, this gets a little bit obscured. Kazayas is quite simply the minimum amount for something to be called food. Less than a kazayas is a piror, is a crumb. Less than a kazayas is not considered anything. When a person eats a kazayas, they're not supposed to be full. If you're full, you're already a sveir, right? You're already heading towards the Shiv Kabea already. Right? And certainly, if you're absolutely stuffed when you have a kazayas, there's certainly something wrong there, because a kazayas, by definition, is supposed to be a tiny amount. Which, if you think about it, a kazayas is not going to make your person, literally, a person eats an olive, they're not going to feel anything, right? But it's food. Something has gone in your mouth, there's a taste, there's a feel, there's something there. So a kazayas is the absolute minimum shear for something to be considered to be food. That's put a little bit of perspective.
Sheer achila, that's called achila.
Yeah, sheer, exactly. Less than that, there's no achila, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, as in the sheer to be chayv chatos, etc. Because even less, any eating. Yeah, so it's not proper achila. True, the Basra didn't make a bracha kohen. Okay, so let's then ask the next question. So what is, so we now know what kezias is a description of. A description of the minimum amount of achila. So it's something considered to be eating. It's also a very obvious point, but needs pointing out. It's a share of volume. Yeah. We're going to get to a discussion later on about the kezias as a share of weight. It's not a share of weight. We have to do all kinds of complicated maths to get to a share of weight. It's a share of volume.
All of them.
Right? Which makes sense, right? Because at the end of the day, you're feeling in your stomach or in your mouth, it doesn't matter how heavy the thing is that you're eating, right? It's how much space it fills in your mouth and in your stomach, right? So it's a share of volume, as, say, all of these Shuri Aichel are. So it's a share of volume of the tiniest minimum amount. Now, the next question is, okay, fine, so we know what purpose, what it is, a kezias, but what is a kezias, if you will? So, on the face of it, a kezias is a little green thing, right? Or a small green or red thing. It's an olive, right? But it's very, very tempting, for obvious reasons, to try to make it something standardized. It's very difficult to work with an organic shear, to say that this here, an olive, is the shear. First of all, obviously they're not all the same, right? Even nowadays, in our supermarkets go to great levels to make sure that things are the same size, right? Olives are not the same size. You know, you take an olive out of the pot and it's that size. Take another olive out of the pot, it's slightly bigger or slightly smaller. That's before you even start talking about different zanim of olives, 100%. If we talk about different species of olives, you have a tiny olive and a big olive, etc., etc. So your first problem with using an olive as a shear. So the first problem with saying to a person, okay, here, Pesach, you need to eat kezias. Go take yourself an olive out the fridge, look at the olive and eat that. The first problem with that, obviously, is that that's going to be different depending on which fridge you open. The other problem is that it's impossible to express in terms of something else. A very important feature of measurements is that you can exactly express them in terms of something else, right? So for example, a centimeter is exactly 100 millimeters. Yeah, a centimeter is exactly a thousandth of a kilometer, etc., etc., right? Or 10 millimeters, sorry, thank you. You're the mathematician. You can express a centimeter in precise, and every other measure that you have, you can express in precise terms in terms of another thing. You do a conversion between them. And of course, that already exists in the Torah, right? So you have, for example, a shekel kodesh. So we have esrim geira shekel. How much is a shekel? A shekel is esrim geira. And you have to have that by money, and you have to have that by weight, because otherwise, how do you have exact money, and how do you have exact weight, right? Halacha in the Torah, you have to have exact weights. So weight, all the way back to when people start using weights, weights have to be expressed in terms of smaller units or bigger units that can be exactly converted. Now, the Gemara does talk about, and the Mishnah talk about, the relative proportion between the shiurim. So which one is bigger, keseves or kegeres? How much bigger, etc. Relative proportion is definitely discussed by Chazal. The Gemara Yuma talks about it. But in terms of precision, it's impossible. In other words, how many eggs is an olive? It depends which egg, it depends which olive. So there's a tremendous, need, if you will, or desire, if you will, to what I would call standardize something. So if you think about, let's say, a foot. So originally a foot was pashtus, something to do with a foot, right? But as soon as the foot starts being used widely, you have to have a standard theoretical foot, right? So a foot is such and such a number of inches. Different towns could have different definitions, but there has to be some kind of agreed thing, because otherwise if your foot's bigger than my foot, then my fridge is not going to fit in the hole that I've put it in the kitchen, right? So there's, again, a tremendous thing to say that a kezias doesn't mean an olive. It means a standardized olive, a theoretical olive, if you will, which is, of course, what we do nowadays, right? If you look at any sefer, it'll tell you what an olive is, what a kezias is, in grams or in cc's or in fluid ounces, etc. And there'll be a machlik as what exactly it is, but there's a standardization. Your zayis, same size as my zayis. But if you look in the Gemara, that's clearly not the case. Right? We'll discuss how nowadays it changes. But certainly, clearly in the Gemara, that's not the case. So we have Lamed Ches Amud Beis in Gemara Brachas. I'll just give you a very quick summary. Reb Zera says, the Rabbi Yochanan ate, made a bracha, a choyna, on a zayis meluach, on a salted olive, on a pickled olive, right? Pickled olives clearly were eaten without the stone inside, without the pit inside them. So says Rabbi Yemir, how could Rabbi Yochanan have made the bracha choyna on a pitted olive? By definition, if an olive is the volume, then a pitted olive is the volume minus the pit. Therefore, by definition, it must have been less than a kazayas. So clearly, unless this is the kazayas, which is exactly the size of the standard kazayas, whatever it is, the one fluid ounce, clearly he's talking about a zayas, a real zayas. And then, so then the Gemara answers, no, we're not talking about our original question. We said, what about the different species of olives? You have big olives and small olives and medium olives. So the Gemara says, it's not a big olive. When Chazal say kazayas, they don't mean Zayas Gadol, they mean a Zayas Beini, a medium-sized olive. And therefore, the Zayas which came to Rabbi Yochanan was a big olive. So when he took out the pit, it was still the size of a medium-sized olive. But then the Gemara goes on and quotes the Mishnah in Kelayim, which tells you also exactly which species of olive we're talking about. Right? We're talking about the Aguri. Ravol says not the Aguri Shemoi, but Avruti. Vomule Samrusi Shemoi. But either way, the Gemara clearly identifies what olive we're talking about. A particular brand, particular species, sorry, better word, a particular species of olive. So when you go to your tree and you see an aguri olive on your tree, you take that olive down, and it doesn't mean, obviously, an olive which is a state of botany that is not fully grown yet, but a fully grown aguri olive on your tree, take it with you to the Seder, put it on your table, look at it, see, and measure according to that how big your matzah should be. A little bit difficult, because how do you imagine a flat thing in a volume of a round thing? But in Achanami, that's how you would work it out. And are you going to tina? But surely different aguri olives are different sizes in Achanami, right? The Chachamim were clearly not making such a precise, exact measurement. They were giving a roundabout measurement. And so as long as the size of a kazayas, that sounds extremely strange to us to understand, but that seems to be the mashmas of the Gemara. And not only that, but it's explicit in the Gaonim. So perhaps because of the big problems with this whole idea, Rav Shuragon is asked by, it doesn't say where the question comes from, is asked, please tell us the kazayas in terms of silver dinarim, silver coins. Now, first thing to note here is they're asking for a weight. A silver dinar is a weight, not a volume. They're asking for a weight for a kazayas. And they say, we're asking for a weight for kazayas because Rav Hiloi Gaon, another one of the Gaonim, gave us a weight for the Beitza. And so we want now one for the Zayas. So Shura Gaon writes back to them and he says, you need to know that the shear of a kazayas is the shear of a kazayas. All Rav Hiloi Gaon did was look at a bear, look at an egg on his table, calculate what the volume would be, and that's the amount he gave you, and we'll talk about how he translated it to weight a little bit later. That's the amount he gave you. Not that he was mechayev you to accept that amount. Right? Not that we have shittas Rav Hiloi Gaon, and everyone has to hold by shittas Rav Hiloi Gaon. If your eggs are a slightly different shape, if you think eggs are a slightly different volume, then you go with your egg. And likewise, with your zayas, go look at a tree. What are you asking me for a thing in silver didorim for? Go take a zayas off a tree. Now, this is a very interesting thing. It says the reason why Rav Hiloi Gaon gave you a weight in eggs specifically is because the egg, the be'er, is the basis for much bigger shiurim. And we find this throughout the Rishonim and Acharonim. Quite an important point. So, for example, shir challah. So shir challah is 43 and a fifth eggs. Now, you can take an olive, put it on your Seder table, and say, okay, I see the volume there. Matzah, whatever, about around this big. Start imagining 43 and a fifth eggs. It's getting very difficult. How are you supposed to estimate that? And measuring volume is very difficult. Right? You can have fixed things, you can have displacement, but you can have measure the cubic area, but it's not easy. And so therefore, when you talk about shir challah, it's very hard to get shir challah in terms of eggs. Right? So therefore, says Rav Shuragon, that's why he gave you a weight in silver for that, to make that easy for you.
You have the queen's olive.
Pardon?
Queen's olive is very, very good.
So that's why the Gemara says, we're talking about a particular brand of olive, a species of olive. That's what the Gemara says, not a big one, not a small, a bainy one. Which is a bainy one? The aguri one. Now your question is, do we know what the aguri is? That's a different question. That's a different question. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. According to this, no, not at all. Yeah, we don't know that. Yeah, that's a particular shitter. Hopefully we'll get there.
Why do you say displacement wasn't good?
It depends what it is. For example, doing displacement on matzah, for example, is very hard. It gets all soggy. It's not easy. I understand, but then transfer it to something which is soft and figgy.
I don't understand exactly. Are you?
I'm just saying practically it's hard. Not impossible. Practically it's difficult. It's not an easy thing to do.
How do we come to weight?
We'll get there. Okay, hopefully we'll get there. All right, so even more, what the other guidim says even more explicitly, when they ask again, he's asked for shear in coins, and he says to them, why are you asking me for a shear in coins? The shear, don't, why ask me for a shear of a shear? The shear is a kazayas. What do you want another shear for? That's the shear, a kazayas. So clearly, according to the guidim, whether or not they gave a certain level for a certain amount of weight for a kabea, as kazayas, they basically was go look at a tree. That's what a kazayas was. Go find a tree. And we find the same thing throughout the Rishonei Sfarad as well. They often bring a shear for challah in different amounts, and very important, the Rambam shear of challah. They sometimes give shurim bigger, so shurim mikveh and so on and so forth. They'll give them in terms of the weights of their time or the volume measures of their time. But kazayas, the Rambam says a kazayas. The Rambam doesn't tell you how many, and not because he doesn't do it with challah. He does it with challah, but with kazayas he doesn't do it. In other words, the Mashmah of the Rambam, even though later on we learn what the Rambam meant from Challah, but the Rambam explicitly doesn't say anywhere how much a kazayas is in any other weight. And the Mashmah is quite simply that a kazayas is a kazayas. Like I say, go find a tree. There's a Talmud of the Rosh, talking about the Aguri Talmud of the Rosh living in Spain. And he says, what is the kazayas? He says, the kazayas is the kazayas that we have. He says the kazayas aguri is a type of olive which grows in Eretz Yisrael. The olives that we have here are the same size as the kazayas aguri. That's the kazayas over here. So we don't know. The people in Spain don't have the aguri anymore. So they have the Talmud Rosh tells him. How does he know? I think it's a very important point. You have Masera. Right? So how do you really know what a kazayas is? You really know what a kazayas is because a son saw his father. And a Talmud saw his Rav, and you know what a kazayas is. That's how you know Masera. You don't need these plastic things you buy from a shop, right? To measure, go, what did your father do? It's a feature of our times that we have a broken Masera that we have to deal with these things, but we'll discuss that a little bit when we get down this. So where does it come from, this whole idea then, of expressing Zaysim in terms of Bayim, in terms of eggs? So it comes from Tosfos. Rishonei Ashkenaz. Rishonei Sfarad don't do it. The Rishonei Ashkenaz do. The Ri, the Beinu Tam, the Rival, the Mordechai, they all struggle with expressing Zaysim in terms of eggs. Why do they do it and the Rishonei Sfarad don't do it?
They didn't grow there.
Exactly. The answer is very obvious. Because they didn't grow there, right? The area where the olive grows stops before you get to the bottom of France. There was no olives in France. They weren't imported. Very, very rich people had olive oil. But people didn't eat. In Sfarad and Ashkenaz, people didn't eat olives. There was no olives on their tables. So they couldn't go and look at the tree and see what the olive is. So therefore, the Ashkenaz had to start harvesting to work out what exactly an olive is in terms of a kebet. And so we have the famous Machlekes Rabbeinu. The Ri says that a olive, based on a comparison between Gemara and Yuma, Gemara and Cretus, not going into much detail, we're supposed to discuss how many zaysim you can fit in your base of blia in the swallowing part of your throat, and how many beitzim you can fit in the base of blia. And he basically works out that two zaysim are not bigger than one egg. And that's quite important. Not bigger than one egg. And therefore, a zayis is less than half an egg. How much less? We don't know. It's clearly not too much less, because then the Gemara would say there's room for three zayis in the base of blia. So it's not too much less, but how much less, we don't know. This isn't a precise shear. Take half an egg, and the zayis is a little bit less than that. The Benitam is chaylik on him. Benitam brings another Gemara. Benitam comes with an amount of a little bit less than a third. So there are three zaysim in an egg. It's a little bit less than that, according to Benitam. The Bogavram learns in the Rambam as well, by using the calculation of Challah, again, we won't go into too much detail, that again it's one third. So we end up now with a way of expressing a kazayas which doesn't involve going over to a tree. And rather it involves looking at an egg. And then it's machlekes. So according to Ri, it's half a little bit less than half an egg. And according to the Ben Tam Siyata, the Mordechai, and according to the understand the Rambam, it's a little bit less than a third of an egg, which is quite a big difference. But again, and why did they do that? Because they don't have azayas. Right? They don't have trees to go look at. So they do have eggs. So again then, how do they work out? They take an egg, pashtus. Rir and Benetam doesn't translate it into, and there were obviously measures of volume in medieval Europe. Rishon Ashkenaz use it for challah again. They measure challah in terms of pints and liter, depending where exactly they are. But in terms of kazayas, they express it in terms of an egg. So basically, go take an egg. Go on how much matzah to eat. Go take an egg, chop it in half, look at your egg. Now, I'm not really going to deal at length with the shit of Neidah B'Hudah Chaznish, but it's important in terms of this conversation to address this. Who is really the first time, at least in Ashkenaz, to really undermine this whole idea that you look at an egg, is the Neidah B'Yudah. So, basically, as we all know, volume can be expressed as a cubic area or as a volume, right? So a cc, a cubic centimetre, and a millilitre are the same, right? In other words, the cubic centimetre, right, you work out the... So there's two ways of measuring it. You take an easily shaped object, you do it with a ruler, you work out the cc. Or you can take yourself a millilitre measure and you work out the millilitres and it's the same thing. So likewise, for the biggest urim, particularly of mikveh but also of challah, for the biggest urim, Chazal express it in two ways. As a number of beim, as a volume, but also as a spatial cubic area, number of etzbois. And already the Rishon Isfad, it's interesting that in Ashkenaz it doesn't really appear until the Neidah B'Yudah, but the Rishon Isfad and earlier recognize it in Sfad. There's a problem. So Chazal give us two measurements, again, of this is particularly mikveh, but also challah. Chazal gives us two measurements, a way of calculating things in spatial area, number of etzbois, or number of agudal, fingers or thumbs. And they also give us number of baits as eggs. And the problem is that the two measurements, so how do you measure these things? You measure these things by taking an egg, and you measure these things by taking a thumb, right? And there's different ways of doing it, but broadly that's how you do it. So you do your measurements, and they don't work out the same. They don't fit together. Says Neidah B'Yudah, he did it. He worked out the Sheikh Hala, the 43 and a fifth eggs, and he did it in eggs, and it came to a little bit less than a pint, whatever the pint was in his time. Then he did it by etzbois, by fingers. He used the formula which Chazal give you in fingers, the cubic area, and he ended up with 2 pints.
Double.
They have a problem. A little bit more than double. So, says the Neidah B'Yudah, so as I said, the Rishon Achronis Far discussed it as well, but they didn't change Halacha Lemaisa. Slach changed Halacha Lemaisa, or suggested change Halacha Lemaisa. So what did he suggest? Well, there's two options. Either the eggs are smaller, or the fingers are bigger. Something has gone wrong, right? Because the amounts aren't stimming. One is double the size of the other one. And so he argued that because you have Yudis Adaris, it's not possible that people are bigger now than they were. People must have been bigger in the time of Chazal than they are now. And therefore the eggs must be smaller. And therefore he suggested that L'chumra, only L'chumra, no one holds this shit, didn't hold this shitta L'kula, not in terms of eating onion kippah, for example, no one holds this shitta. But L'chumra, he said, we should double the shurim. So the Rebbe, so the Re says that a bear is half an egg. He says, for us it should be, sorry, Azias is half an egg. For us it should be that Azias is a full egg. So already you're talking about enormous urine, right? Now you're wondering how you start off with a little green thing and now you've got a massive green thing, right? Now there are, of course, many, many chelakanim. He was very, the Neidah B'Yudah, his shitta was accepted l'chumra by many, many of the possibly of his time. The Mishnah Berurah paskens that the chatzchila you should hold by the slach, you should go with a bigger shear, to a full beta rather than half a beta. But there are obviously a lot of problems with it, not the least of which is the fact that we have such a thing called pigeon aben. And a pigeon aben is also measured in dinarim, in coins, and that's also relative, I'll get to which details, also relative to a volume of silver as well. And we have a Masera, how many denarium you need for a pigeon and a ben, and no one changed it. No one doubled the number of denarium for a pigeon and a ben. So where did this collapse of the Shurim happen? Okay. Also, just factually, it's very hard to say that people were taller then. In fact, it's much more likely to say the other way around, that people are taller now, right? And that likewise, eggs are bigger now than they were. But either way, that's the shit. So that's the first time, really, in Ashkenaz at least, as I said, the Sfarim noted the problem but didn't change Lach Lamaisa. But that's the first time, really, by Ashkenaz, and they had this idea, I can't look at half an egg anymore. Now I need to look at a full egg. But it's still an egg.
Exactly.
So Pashtus, you look at an egg. That's the thing. So it's an erican egg. So I would suggest this. It's a very good point. I go back to my original point, beginning about Masera. How do you know which egg? Which egg did your father use? Which egg did your Rav use? That's how you know. Of course, there's going to be a small amount. Yes, and for example, with the Zayas, so Chazal tells explicitly you have different species of Zayas. So it's the Aguri. They identify the Zayas. I agree with an egg, it's presumably harder. You have bigger and smaller eggs. So Pashas, like I say, they had a Masera. This is the size of egg that you use. So how do we end up then with what we have now, which is a shear expressed in a very, very precise way in terms of cc, in terms of ounces, in terms of sometimes even grams, etc. So it seems, interestingly, even though the Rishon HaSfar didn't do it, the first people really to do it were the Achoinim of the Sfaradim. They started expressing not just Chala, but also also Azias as well, in terms of their local weight currency. Expressing it in terms of, and I can't pronounce this word, so if anyone is an Arabic scholar, pronounce it better, I think it's pronounced dirham. It's certainly the source of the English word dram, but it's not pronounced like that either. It's a Turkish coin. It's not drachma, it's a different thing. No. It's they're all clearly derivatives of the same word, but it's a different coin. So there's two ways really. So you want to give people asking you a shiloh, we're sick of hearing you telling us every time you give a Shabbos Gadol drasha, telling us how many eggs we need. Eggs are confusing us. Zaysim are confusing us even more. I forgot what my father did. I didn't learn by a Rav. I don't know what it is. Tell me in something I can relate to. Tell me in numbers that I can go out and weigh. And again, as I said in the beginning, it's much easier to weigh than it is to do volume. And so there's two ways of doing it. So there are many, many shurim given. And most of them are simply by someone going to measure. Right? So you go measure. Right? So you do either take your fingers or you take the eggs. You measure them. You do displace whatever it is. And you work out what it should be, and that's your shitter. The other way is to go back to Rishonim. So the Rambam says that he did this himself. He did it. All he did was measure it, right? But the Rambam measured, and for Sheikh Chala came up with an amount. And the amount, he said, was that a revius of water is 27 dirham, which was the coin, a weight coin used in his days. Now, we need to just address for a moment the top business of weight. And this isn't really that complicated, but it's a little bit complicated. So everyone knows that a ton of feathers weighs the same as a ton of lead, right? But a ton of feathers in volume is massively bigger than a ton of lead, right? It depends on the relative density of the object. Now, when you talk about water, so 1 gram of water is 1 cc of water, is 1 milliliter of water.
Not a volume.
Right? Okay, round about, 1 gram.
Yeah.
Right? So that's because the way they calculate it, so basically, it's not exactly, but basically water is one. So the relative weight to volume is one. So 1 cc is 1 gram. Anything else beyond water, it depends what the density is. Right? I'm not a physicist, but you can get tables of these things, right? Relative density. It's very important, I don't know, for all kind of scientific things. But either way, the point is that you can't easily turn a volume into a weight, because it depends what it is. So a kazayas of water is not going to weigh the same as a kazayas of meat, for example, or a kazayas of flour, for example, right? So you'd have to give, if you want to give weight, really, you need to give every single thing, and really it depends on the single individual thing. So therefore, we have now weights from the Rambam, But in order for it to be any use to us, we have to turn that weight back into a volume again. So basically, so you can do that, because the Rambam gives a shear of water. So Rambam says a reverse of water is close to, again, the thing is that accurate, like we try and pretend it is nowadays, but korivla, 27 dram. If you have then, that's the weight of that amount of water, you can then turn it back into a volume again. So in order to do that, first thing you need to do is work out what a dirham is in terms of modern words. So Chaim Noah makes an argument that the size is the same, that the dirham of the Rambam and the dirham which was in currency in his days is the same. And he brings a number of reasons proving, a lot of it is based on the idea again of Masera. So the Sfaradim, as we said, the Sfaradi Achronim were for a long time giving the amount of the Kazais in terms of dirham. And so therefore, no one changed it in the middle. So he argues clearly it's the same. There are those who argue from archaeology pretty convincingly that actually the dirham of his time was smaller than was bigger than the dirham. I'm not very good at maths. Was bigger than the dirham of the Rambam, in which case that makes all of his shurim too big. But generally speaking, the shurim too big is better than too small. But going with his assumption that the dirham he had in his pocket was the same as the oil that was around his time, was the same as the dirham of the Rambam. So you take that coin, it's a weight, remember. Right? Not like modern day coins, which are symbolic. It's a weight of silver. Take the weight of silver, take the dirham, measure it, you've got a weight. And so the weight he comes up with is 3.205 grams. Grams.
Yeah.
No, a dirham. A dirham is a coin. It's a weight. Silver dirham weighs 3.205 gram. Now the Rambam says, pardon?
Grams.
He tied it to the same size.
Same size. Our grams and those grams when they made them.
Oh yes. Yeah, the time now is in the 20s. Yeah, definitely. So a dirham is 3.25 gram. That's a weight. So then the Rambam said that the weight of a reverse of water is 27 dirham. So do the maths. 27 times by 3.205, you end up with 86 gram. And therefore, the famous Shir Chaim Noah, and by the way, if you do this maths with a calculator, it doesn't come out exactly the same because he's using fractions, not decimals, but that's not overly complicate things. So he works out the reverse of water is 86 grams because water has the same volume as it does weight. So therefore, a reverse of water is 86 cc. So now we've got a volume. So you can take your volume and you can apply it to everything else after that. So for example, a zayis. So a kazayis is a kibetza is 1.5 eggs in a reverse. So therefore you can work out how much the volume of an egg is. And then you have at least some shear, which is expressed for you in modern terms, in fluid ounces or cubic centimetres, etc., etc. Take it down to a... And so basically, so he says, so an egg with its shell is 57.6 grams, right? 57.6, excuse me, millilitres, yeah, cubic grams, right? CC. So not CC, grams expressed as a volume. 57.6 millilitres. Then he brings a machlekes in Re. So here we get all are different now. Remember, one machlekes we've already had, leaving aside even the Tzlach Leib Huda and the Chaznish, leaving aside that shit. Even within the shitta of... then we have another machlekes, right? We have machlekes, how many eggs is a kazayis? So now we know the volume of a kazayis. But there's machlekes, right? Re. And the other is showing him, is it half or is it a third? So there we paskin that b'deraisa we go l'chumra. So therefore we have to take the things b'deraisa, we have to say, take this number we've just come up with, this 57.6, and divide it by 2, not by 3. Divide it by 2, a little bit less. But then he brings another machlekes. And the other machlekes is whether or not when you calculate, according to Re, that a zayis is half an egg, does that mean an egg with its clipper or without its clipper? Machlekes between him, Chaim Noah, and Mishnah Berurah. So again, another place where you can get different numbers when you're looking at Haggadah, because there's another machlekes as well. He says it's an egg without a shell. Tan is an egg without a shell is 1/15 of an egg. It's minus 1/15 of an egg. So he works out basically 26.9 cc is half an egg is a kazayis l'chumra. But it's less, as we said at the beginning, it's less than half an egg, so he takes it down a little bit more, and he puts it to 25.6. Is where famous number, 25.6. comes from, which is basically a fluid ounce. So when you see, for example, as far as brings that Kzayis is a fluid ounce, the Shidduchana, it isn't really, it's like 0.9 of a fluid ounce, but there's a lot of rounding going on, and it's rounded up always.
American European fluid ounce is slightly different as well.
I think it means American fluid ounces, I think. That's a good point, I think. I'm not sure. And then he says Rabbanon. So Rabbanon is, truth is, in America, they tend to hold a Moshe Shitter, which is a whole different Shitter altogether. And then it says Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, you hold the Rishonim who say that Kzayis is a third of an egg. But they hold Kzayis is a third of an egg with a shell on. So then he takes the bigger number with the shell and divides that by three, it takes a little bit off, and he ends up with 17.3 cc. So how do we start in the beginning from a little green fruit on your table to an amount which people measure to the line in their measuring jugs? So through weight, back to volume, and then to a volume in modern terms. And you see all of the space along there for machlegzin, right? All of these things, everything there, is it half an egg or a third of an egg? Is an egg with a shell or not an egg with a shell? Then you get to the Tzlach, which says double everything, and the Chazanish holds like the Slach, but the Chazanish has a different way of measuring the size. He measures using fingers, not eggs. So the Chazanish is not double Chayim Noishir, right? So it's 86 of Chayim Noishir of Revius, and the Chazanish is 150, not double, right? Because he has a different way of calculating it. But anyway, let's not digress too much. Now, usually that's where we end. We end with the Kazayas now expressed as a volume. Just to complicate things, sometimes the Kzayis is expressed as a weight as well, particularly by Reb Chaim Noah. And his reasoning, again, is obvious. Take a matzah. It's very true. I've done it. It's very hard to measure the volume of a matzah. You can do displacement, but then it gets soggy and absorbs water. It doesn't help you. You can wrap it in cling film, all this kind of stuff, and matzah, hand matzah is a pound a piece. You've lost a matzah. You can grind it and then try and put it in a measure. It's hard. It's not easy to measure a volume. It's much easier if someone turns around and gives you a weight. Weight, put it on a scale, you know how much you need. You take your box of matzahs, you divide it by how many matzahs of the box, and the weight, you think you have a kzayis. So the truth is, Chaim Noah does that. He gives you weights. He says the weight for matzah, and he's adding for the teeth, he's rounding up and up and up. But he says basically the weight of matzah, kzayis of matzah, is 27 grams. How does he come to that? One second. And the weight of Mara is 19 grams. How does he come to that? So the problem is, his method of coming to that is very, very problematic. It goes back to that whole idea of relative density. He argues that matzah and bread have the same relative density as water. And the problem is that they may have done in his times, but they certainly don't in ours. Matzah is heavier than water. So if you're taking 27 gram of matzah, you have much more than 27 or 26.5 cc of matzah. You can try it. Grind it, measure it. It's a much bigger amount. The maths of the relative density is out. How does he get to 90 grams? So first of all, he takes it to Rabbanon shear. And then he argues that Mara is lighter than water. The leaves of Mara are lighter than water. So he multiplies it from 17 to 19 gram. Again, then, you have to take your Mara and measure it, because it could well be that relative density is also not right.
Which Mara did he take?
He was talking about the leaf. He makes a difference between the stalk and the leaf.
Okay, chain is easier, but leaf is there.
That's what he was looking at. No, that's what gives you a weight. That's what gives you a weight. So basically, if you're going to try and take a weight, right, so any safer that you open, and this truth is it's relatively rare nowadays, except for Sfarim, which being directive on B'chaim Noah. But if you take a safe which gives you a weight of kedayis and weight, you need to be a little bit suspicious of it, because it depends. It's not possible to be accurate in terms of weight. You have a thicker matzah, you have a thinner matzah. You have a more dense matzah, a less dense matzah. So the only really way of calculating a kedayis is really by looking at volume, as difficult as it is. And so we do have volumes nowadays. It's easier. We don't need to put an olive oil on the table, we don't need to put an egg on the table. And just to go back to the original point, there are people that taina. There are a coin at the time that we should just use an egg or just use an olive. If you use an olive, you end up with a much smaller shear. And there's machlekes, how do you work out which type is their type? The truth is, an olive lives for a very long time. You go to archaeological digs, you can find pips. It's not impossible to work out what the aguri was. People who do that come up with a very small shear of a kazayis, much more similar to what we said at the beginning. I haven't heard any Meir HaRoah paskin that way lechatchila. I have a mirror paskin that way for a chayla, for example, but generally speaking, that's not what we do. Generally speaking, we take these bigger, and chayla is one of the smaller ones, we take these bigger volume measures in our modern terms, even though chayla, they're quite a bit bigger than what the original volume of the zayis was. And the zayis, yeah, why do we have the zayis as a shir? Because it's one of the shivs aminim. The whole reason why we're confused with zayis is because we're in golos. Tiyem b'mishpat tipoda. And the schutz of learning the halachas, we should see, and the gula, we go back to seeing a real olive and know exactly what a kazayis is.
How do we come to on the kippah this year? How do we come to the
actual learning? No, it's a different share.